Let's sing together, Into the Heart of Jesus. Deeper and deeper I go.
That's a heart song. 324, hardcover book. Into the cross that speaks of his suffering, into the joy and into the love of Jesus. Deeper and deeper we go. Christian life is never boring, that's for sure. We're always going somewhere. Hopefully deeper into Christ all the time. Praise God. I hear good reports of our young ladies getting settled last night, and they're looking forward to rich times in God's presence together, and they're depending on our prayers, and so we want to be faithful to pray for the villagers and the Callagers, that God will meet every one of them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day to get to know you better. We do pray that you will reveal yourself to us today in the way that you desire to. All over this camp, we pray that your presence will be very close to us, in meeting, out of meeting, on the beach, wherever we are. Lord, we pray that the cloud of your presence will just hover over this place, every inch. We pray for your protection upon our grounds.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, from natural disasters, from accidents of serious consequence. Lord, watch over guests, campers alike, staff members. We thank you for the love of Christ that is manifest among your people. And we pray, Lord, that you will cause there to be unity among our staff and the campers. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will teach us to love one another. And we pray, Lord, that we will work together to glorify the Lord and to bring in his kingdom. Praise God. Soften hearts today, Lord. Make them good ground to receive the living word as it's given under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you'll make us all conscious of your guidance, your leading, and then help us to do what God shows us to do. Say what he tells us to say and be a blessing in the way that someone may need today. Thank you, Lord. Strengthen those that are working and perhaps tired. Strengthen those that came up here weary and that need to be refreshed in spirit, soul, and body. Oh, Lord, let this be a day where you are pleased with what you're able to accomplish in all of your people here on the campgrounds. Bless our brother Paul. We pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen him and minister to his needs. Bring him back to us soon and help him to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of down in the city there. Continue to bless our brother and give him wisdom and all the grace that he needs, Lord, to direct this camp under you. We thank you for him and for his given life, and we pray that you will encourage him today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I just thought while we were praising the Lord just for a moment, I thought, you know, a lot of people don't really understand praise. And that's why in some churches you don't have much praise. And in some churches, praise would be the first thing they would let go of if they had an opportunity. Because they don't realize that praise is something that God has ordained, a way in which God has ordained to come to us and to bring us victory. We usually think of praise, most people, well, I praise the Lord for something he's done for me. Answers to prayer, I thank him. And how long can that go on in a meeting? I've thanked him for everything already. I'm done. Let's do something else. And people don't understand why we continue to praise the Lord in meeting. And we have these protracted times of praise where the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And God is just praising through us and making our worship acceptable to him. He's bringing changes about in our hearts, preparing them to receive his word and bringing us into a place where we can sense his leading and he can have his way in the meeting as different ones respond. Also, God gives us victory. He strengthens us as we praise him. He gives us victory over the enemies in our life and the struggles that we're having. And so when we understand that praise is more than just saying thank you to Jesus for what he's done for us, but that it's a way in which the Holy Spirit helps us to come closer to Christ and to come into victory, then we yield ourselves when he introduces praise into the meeting. And we're not so quick to just get it over with and move on to the next song or the sermon or whatever. But we say, Lord, just help us to enter into praise this morning and to praise you with all our hearts. And for as long as you keep us praising you, surely you have a reason why you're having us to praise you like this. I've heard stories of ministers that came into a meeting and there was a heaviness, and then the Lord opened their spiritual eyes and they saw powers of darkness surrounding the church, trying to keep the blessing of God from breaking through into people's lives. And so the pastor got up behind the pulpit and he just began to praise God. And a few people joined in. It was kind of weak, but he persisted. Instead of giving up and saying, well, there's no use, he realized that as they praised the Lord, he began to see those dark powers back up. And as he praised God and had faith over the meeting, other people began to praise. And other people began to enter in. And more of those dark powers stepped back. And the light and the glory of God broke through. And so there's reasons why God tells us to praise him and keeps us praising him. There's times when God puts silence on the meeting. And there's reasons for that as well. And so to have a real Holy Ghost meeting, you have to have people that are willing to be led by the Holy Spirit and to obey him when he prompts us to do something or not to do something. And so you're going to get the greatest blessing out of the meetings at camp if you enter into what is taking place, right? If we're having a time of praise, well, that's the time to praise him. Enter in. Open your heart. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Praise him. And then when you're done, praise him some more. And if we're, the minister is guiding us in that way under the direction of the Holy Spirit, well, then let's all work together to praise him. And so we get a real breakthrough. And God accomplishes what he wants to. And if there's silence upon the meeting, well, don't get bored. Just close your eyes and recognize that Jesus is very near to us and that he's put silence on the meeting because he wants to do something all by himself in your heart. So just tell him you love him. Keep thinking about him. Sometimes Bible verses will come to us. Sometimes a song will come into our heart. But you just recognize his presence and say, Lord, I'm just presenting myself to you. Often in those times of silence, God is doing things in our life that we don't even know we need, right? It's not things that necessarily we're praying about, but it's his chance to get to things in our hearts that we're not even aware we need his touch and his help. I often think of if I was to get an operation, I would lay down on the operating table and I would not move and I would not tell the doctor what to do. Hopefully I'd be under anesthesia. But he's the doctor. He's the expert. And he knows what's best and how to take care of these things. And so I just quietly lie there, one or the other, and let him have his way. Thank you. If you say all of them, you're going to be right one at a time. And sometimes I think of that when I'm sitting in silence. Okay, the great physician, our Lord Jesus, he's operating. Don't move. Let him have his way. And eventually the Lord will lift that sense of the stillness and move us on to something else. And so, so participate. Don't watch others and let them do it, but you do it. And you'll find that if you do it, you do it in faith, trusting that the Lord will meet you. He will. And so we don't know what the Lord has for us this morning, whether we'll have a lot of praise or a lot of silence or maybe something else. But we want Jesus to have his way. And, we prepare for meetings, but our preparations are always held very lightly. And if the Holy Spirit moves us in a different direction, I've seen that happen many times. I come to a meeting, maybe I have a thought or prepared to say something, and then someone gets up and testifies, and there's blessing in what they say, and people respond, and then somebody else might testify, and then there's a song, and it seems like the meeting is moving in a different direction. Well, we want to allow the Lord to do that because it's not my meeting, it's his meeting, right? It's not your meeting, it's his meeting. And sometimes you can get that direction even by the songs that are being sung or played on the piano. I've often come into a meeting, my daughter Natalie is playing songs on the piano, And it just helps me to understand what direction the Lord wants to begin the meeting with, and what song to sing. And last night, and with our brother Greg, too. That's a real ministry at the piano. And at the altar service last night, Robert was playing one song after another, and they so supported some of the things that I preached last night, and just kept the thoughts before us as we're waiting quietly before the Lord and dealing with Him about these things. So, Lord, we want to teach us Your ways, Lord. You know, God's ways are better than our ways.
Yes.
The Lord says, without Me, you can do nothing. And I found that to be true. I can do a lot of nothing without Jesus. I'm good at it. We all are. And the strange thing about it is, as we're doing nothing, we think we're doing something. Right? We think we're doing a great thing and we're accomplishing great things. But it's because we don't understand what God is after and what God can do. And compared to what God is after and what God can do, what we're doing amounts to nothing. But when we get in touch with the Lord and we let God have His way, great things are accomplished, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Okay. Somebody have a song that you're coming to camp and you said, oh, I wish we sang this song. Brother Kenny hasn't chosen it yet. It's okay if you don't make one up. All that thrills Tom's soul is Jesus. I don't think that's the title, but it's in here. Praise God. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? Amen.
483.
Thank you. 483, yes. Now, throughout the week while you're here, the 2 weeks, I'm sure the Lord would like to use you somewhere along the way. And I don't know if they still do it, but years ago, the staff was always required to testify somewhere along the way. And usually the last meeting was full of testimonies because everybody held out till the end. But testimonies don't have to be long, and they don't have to be tremendously deep. They just have to be sincere. I've seen people get up and they just started talking and then they cried the rest of their testimony. And that was such a blessing to see how much they love Jesus and how real these things were to them. Okay, so think about that, staff. Participate, testify, lead out in a song, lead out in a prayer. I like at altar services when we pray out. Last night we had a nice time of waiting on God, and there were a few young people that prayed out, and older people need to do that too. And that helps to enrich those times. We join together, and someone prays, and we agree with them, and someone else prays, and we agree with them, and God has His way more and more. Okay, I talked, and I forgot the page. Thank you. Okay, Greg, hit it.
Presence, all divine. salvation.
Yes.
Lord, our hearts are thrilled because you loved us so. And Lord, we want to pray that the children on these grounds will come to find that great redemption early on.
Yes.
Pray, Lord, it won't be dragged all the way until the end. But Lord, let them experience God now. We pray you'll draw their hearts now. And Lord, there'll be time to cultivate what you want to do in them.
Amen.
So Lord, we just thank you that you can
cause
their hearts, the youngest to the oldest, can get thrilled over Jesus.
Yes,
they can get excited over Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, make yourself real to them. We pray. In thy precious name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
love you, Lord.
Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your trials are, Jesus will see you through.
Does that. I was in my room this morning and I heard a beautiful voice coming through the door singing, "It Is Well With My Soul." So I picked up my guitar and I started playing it. I wanted to accompany him, but I think he left. But he was singing already in the morning. Every day, all the way, I will sing, sing, sing.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So which young person is not going to wait till the last day?
It must be me.
You see how young I am? I was 20 years old when I got saved. Before I got saved, I attended one of the meetings in what became my home church, and they were saying, "Praise the Lord." And I said, "I'm never going to do that." And then I didn't go to a meeting for a while. My brother had been saved. And then he was being baptized. And the Lord really began, I had been reading the Bible. And the night he was baptized, I came in and I was very hard. I think Brother Kenny was there.
I was there, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you.
You still don't have any regrets?
We'll talk later.
So I was there in the meeting and very hard, very not open at all. But we the Lord's presence was there so wonderfully that it melted my heart. And it drew me. I stood in the back, and I just was wanted to edge my way up, up, up. The next thing I know, I was near the front. And the presence of the Lord was so wonderful that it melted my heart, and it was raising my hands and praising the Lord.
Praise
and the Lord. I didn't even know why. Because he was real. And that's the wonderful thing about our so great salvation, is that Jesus is real.
Yes.
I had been raised in the church where it was very formal. We learned the Ten Commandments, and I'm glad they came to my rescue at some certain time, especially the one thou shalt not kill. So anyhow, there were times when I got in trouble, like when I killed my father's little finch bird, and boy, I prayed then. So anyhow, I wasn't trying to kill him, but it just, I was born that way. No, I was wanting to hold him, because my dad would reach in the cage and hold the bird and then put him back. So I tried doing that, and the bird flew out of the cage. I said, oh no, I gotta catch that bird. So he went under the bed, and I did the wrong thing. I tried to get him out in a way that I hurt him. So I threw him out the window. And that's when I was praying, Lord, God, don't let my father know this. Don't let him. As soon as he walks in the door, I says, what happened? Found the bird outside. Yeah. But anyhow, that's the extent of the prayer, way I would pray when I get in trouble. But it's so marvelous. I'm so grateful that I learned to know the Lord in reality. And that thrilled me. That thrilled my soul, because things you hear about and you don't really believe in or know or experience, they're not real to you. But Jesus is in the business of making himself real. But it takes our seeking. The foreground was, my brother gave me the verse, if you seek me, you shall find me, if you search for me with all your heart. Now, I knew what it meant to be wholehearted, because I was an athlete back then, and I really gave every effort to the sports that I was involved in. And when I finally got to the place where God worked in my heart, it was in that meeting that the gates of my soul were open, and God filled me with himself. And someone asked me, as we were walking home, I said, did I give my heart to the Lord? And I said, oh yeah, I guess I did. I remember saying it, but I just fell in love with Jesus. And every day after that was a day of knowing the Lord. And 48 years now, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I was 20 back then, so I'm about 28 now. Mm-hmm. But I'm so grateful for this privilege of knowing the Lord. It's changed my life. It's given me, I'm still made of this stuff, you know, everyone knows that, if they know me. But boy, you should have known me before I knew the Lord. Mm-hmm. My sister said, it's a good thing you got saved. Either I'd be in jail or dead, she said. Not that I was bad, but I just had a bad temper. You know, I could explode. But the Lord worked on me and saved me.
Praise God.
And the wonder of it all was knowing him, coming to know him. Because that's what my heart longed for, the reality. I said to myself, I'm going to just check this out. And if it's real, I'll follow it. But if it's not real, then I'll forget about it. Mm. I'm so glad that he made himself real.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Let's sing number 78 in the white book. My heart is stirred whene'er I think of Jesus.
I had a problem in my room the other day. There was no light over my bed. And I spoke to Andrew about it, and
You looked at the light switch, and one of the chains was missing. And then I went into my room last night, and the chain was there. And I wondered, did I not see? But I have a witness. There was no chain there. As a matter of fact, I stood on my bed, and I was going to try to fix it myself, and the chain suddenly appeared. So I assumed Andrew did that. So after meeting, I texted him, thank you for fixing my light. He said, you're welcome, but I didn't do it. So we didn't know who did it. So I realized that life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived. And so I'm enjoying the mystery of who fixed my light. Do you know anything about that, Brother Tom?
The chain shouldn't be there.
Excuse me?
The chain shouldn't be there.
Shouldn't be there.
Because if you pull the chain, then you throw off the remote control.
Okay,
so that's why I removed the chains.
Oh, but it wasn't working. But it wasn't working with the remote.
That's because someone pulled the chain.
The chain that wasn't there.
Chain that they
got it.
What was there they pulled. Sorry.
Emphasis on life is a mystery to be lived. Okay. Let's sing number 78. I've learned to know a name I highly treasure.